Holy and gracious God, these are indeed strange days. Wherever we are, as we listen to this, as we practice social distancing, may we be reminded that you are the God who draws near to us, who redeems us, transforms us. Extend your grace to us that we may let go. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So today is a little unusual as I stand here in our sanctuary this morning looking out at empty chairs, but there's something comforting about it as I reflect and think about all of you, wherever you are as you listen to this, and I look at the different seats and think about where you sit in this sanctuary. I hope these words connect with where you are in this season, in this time. And today we are invited into this story of this wonderful encounter between Jesus and a Samaritan woman at a well. It's such an intimate story of being known and being loved. And there's so much in this story that I love that is beautiful and good. But to get a sense of what's really going on, I think we need a little bit more of the context. You see, Jesus is on his way home, and he decides to pass through the land of Samaria. Now, what is not communicated to us in this story is that Jews and Samaritans didn't really get along at all. As one person put it, for something like 700 years, Jews and Samaritans had been arguing and generally hating on one another, as only members of the same family can argue and hate. And ancient listeners of this story, when they heard it, would know that Jesus didn't have to pass through Samaria. They would know that respectable Jews took the long way around instead of risking going through it. So they might be startled to hear that Jesus goes through Samaria and drags the disciples along with him. But they would be even more startled to hear that along the way, at about noon, he runs into a Samaritan woman at the well and has a conversation with her. And what's a little strange about this is that someone wouldn't necessarily come to draw water at noon during the heat of the day. As we understand it, typically water was drawn at the well in the morning and in the evening when it was cooler. So the fact that this woman was there in the middle of the day tells us something about her. And it tells us something about her relationship with the rest of her community. It tells us that perhaps she felt like she didn't belong. Maybe she was an outcast or ashamed and practicing some of her own social distancing. And here, I think, is where we need to do some unlearning as well. As you read the story, we find out that the woman has been married 5 times and is now living with someone who is not her husband. The assumption, of course, is that this woman has done something wrong. But really, there's nothing in this story that indicates that she is to blame. This woman is getting water at noon. She's been married 5 times and is currently living with a man. The truth is that in this time and place, it was extremely difficult for a woman to divorce her husband, and so most likely this is something that has happened to her. As David Lowe's professor at Luther Seminary in Minneapolis suggests, she very easily could have been widowed or have been abandoned or divorced. Further, she could now be living with someone that she was dependent on. There are any number of ways, in fact, that one might imagine this woman's story as tragic rather than scandalous. Yet so often we assume the latter. But despite all of this, there can be no doubt that this woman has experienced shame through these experiences. There can be no doubt that her community has rejected her and she is on the margins, an outcast, an outsider among her own people. You see, this part of this woman's story has played such a significant role in her life. It has come to define her in so many ways, from her relationships, from the way she fits into her community, and perhaps all the way to what she thinks about the reflection that she sees in the mirror, what she thinks about herself. Perhaps it became something that she held on to, clutched in her hands, because it had come to be the defining part of her experience and was hard to let go, even as it made her miserable. This part of her story became the thing that defined her experience. And so she comes to the well at noon to get some water in peace. She distances herself from the stares and the whispers, trying to lighten the load of shame and stigma she carries with her, perhaps even trying to get a little distance herself from her own thoughts. And it's here at the well that Jesus draws near. It's here at the well that Jesus defies the labels, defies the religious and cultural convention, and transforms the stigma and shame, the isolation, into a person. It's here at the well that Jesus transforms the theological and moral problem into a human being. It's here at the well that Jesus transforms the outcast into a woman, a beloved child of God. It's here at the well that this part of this woman's story that had gained so much power in her life, that had come to define her and so much of her experience, perhaps even how she experienced herself, it's here at the well that it was put in its proper place. To be sure, it was still a part of her experience, a part of who she is. But here at the well, through the offer of living water, it was no longer the thing that defined her. John Buchanan, the former pastor of Fourth Presbyterian Church downtown, put it this way. The image before us today is that woman who, in the presence of Jesus, was no longer a statistic, a racial minority, a moral embarrassment, but a human being. Jesus took her story and loved her back into her personhood, her innate human dignity. He saved her life, literally. I'm not alone in noticing this week. Lots of people have commented on this, but I'm struck by how, at a time when around the globe social distancing is the recommended and good practice of the day, something we are practicing at Resurrection Covenant, why I'm standing here in the sanctuary by myself. But I'm struck by how we, in this time, we get the story of Jesus drawing near to this woman in her isolation. We get the story of Jesus drawing near and getting proximate and loving her as she is, as Howard Thurman once said, with the smell of life on her. She expected to come to the well to be alone, but it's there at the well that she has her life redefined. Redefined by the God who won't be distanced. The God who refuses to let stigma or shame have the last word. In God's love, she is finally able to let go, to surrender the power this part of her story has had over her, because the only thing that defines her now is the love of God she has experienced in Jesus. And so she runs to her people and tells them, come and see, you have to experience this for yourself. Sister Joan Chittister once said that there are times to let things go. There is a time to put a thing down, however unresolved, however baffling, however wrong, however unjust it may be. There are some things in life that cannot be changed, however intent we are to change them. There is a time to let surrender take over so that the past does not consume the present, so that new life can come, so that joy has a chance to surprise us again. I love this story because how many of us come before God with the smell of life on us? How many of us have experiences, have parts of our stories, have shadows that have gained too much power in our lives, perhaps bending our backs under the weight of stigma and shame, or maybe have even come to define us? This morning we are reminded that the love of God experienced in Jesus is not deterred by our shadows or our mess, but instead draws near, frees us to surrender, to let go, so that joy has a chance to surprise us again. In these strange and uncertain days of social distancing, as we seek to care well for one another and our neighbors while apart and in new ways, let us rest in the one who draws near, knows us, and loves us. And reminds us who we really are, so that new life can come, so that joy has a chance to surprise us again. Thanks be to God. Amen.